Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the best things you can do to become a better, more secure artist. I'll explain. Currently, I am finishing up 4 lovely days in Vancouver, where I have been teaching some scene study classes, and I've had a great group. I'm very grateful for it. Tomorrow morning, I'm heading off to Toronto, and I'll be teaching there from the 1st through the 6th of September, and then I'll go to New York City, where I'll be at the Shetler Studios on the 7th and 8th of September, and then I'll be back in LA for my Monday night class on the 9th. So if you're in any of those places and you want to see what's what, give me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Occasionally, perhaps even frequently, actors will ask me what they can do to get better. And there's always a focus on acting. I know that's what they mean by that. They mean, how can they become a better artist? What can they do to enhance their skills? They want to know what movies to watch, what books to read, what classes to take, what plays to read, you know, exercises they could do, the usual stuff. I've said many times, and perhaps in other podcasts, that you will always be limited in the scope of what you can do by who you are as a human being. In other words, if you have a sheltered life, you never look up, you never have experience, you never register the experiences you have, it's going to be very difficult for you to season that instrument that is you. Like any great violin, it needs seasoning. So I've always said that if you truly want to be a great artist, one of the great things you can do is just become a great person. And by that, I don't mean just some affable, jovial chap who, you know, is the hit at every party. I mean by enhancing everything there is about you. And the best way to do that, of course, would be to have experience, to do things, to have hobbies, to travel, to listen when other people speak. You've heard me say this, but it bears repeating. Because I think that when I do say it, it falls upon deaf ears because most actors are thinking, yeah, I got that. I pay plenty of attention. Trust me. No, I'm talking about like, you know, what are little tricks I can do so I can become a movie star by next week because rent's due, you know. Yeah. I think I've seen the most fascinating acting come from perhaps the most fascinating people. And so the point of the podcast, I'm going to hit primarily on one idea, one observation that I make when I'm traveling in classes, when people audit, when I'm watching new people that I haven't met before. I say that because if it is anyone that hangs with me, they either won't last long or they will change. And this particular idiosyncrasy, if there's anything I can do about it, will no longer be on their roster of things that they do. You know, I've jokingly said that when I'm watching auditors or if I'm lecturing somewhere, I notice the people that perhaps aren't laughing or enjoying themselves. Anyone who's up in front of a crowd tends to be able to see that quite quickly. You can see where it's not working. And I do, you may not get it from these podcasts, but I do enjoy humor. I've said it, I know I've spoken of it recently. It's just a great delivery device for teaching, and everyone's having fun, and everyone's awake. And also then, when I'm making what criticisms I make, there's a sense of fun about it that makes it an easier pill to swallow. It's not like suddenly something horrible was said and the room comes to a screeching halt. No, everyone laughs it off, including the person it was meant for. And I feel then that we grow more resilient actors. I've jokingly said that when I look over and I see someone isn't laughing, I think, ah, you see, they must not be smart because they don't realize how funny I am. Yeah, I know that's terrible to say, but I kind of mean it. I mean it in the sense that it's kind of obvious when everyone else in the room is having a good time and one person isn't that something's amiss. Now, if I were having my fun and 30 people weren't laughing, I think it might be a little bizarre for me to say, they must all be just a bunch of dummies. Clearly, I wouldn't be reading the writing on the wall or in the room. But that's not what happens. There'll be this one person, two people perhaps, but usually one. And while everyone is cackling and enjoying and mesmerized by the work that the actors are doing and they're following along and there's just so much support and loveliness in the room, there is this detached spectator that somehow is watching a different movie. And what does that mean? You see, whether or not I'm actually funny isn't the point. It is being able to relax enough to just get with the flow of what seems like social decorum. Well, imagine, if you will, someone at a party and some old guy gets up and is telling some story and everyone's laughing and smiling, but there's one person sitting there looking at it saying, I don't get it, old man. That's not a funny story, and you're not a good storyteller, and I wish you would just shut up. What kind of person does that? An impatient one? No, one where there is something missing. And here's my theory. There is a sense of ease that is missing when I see that, all joking aside. There is a sense of just letting go that isn't present in this person, an ability to not sit in such fierce judgment of their surroundings or what happens to be going on at the moment, but they can, for this time, just relax, take it in, experience this moment with everyone else in a group, and become a part of this flow as to perhaps then enhance their experience at this moment so that then they will have had the full experience. Why is that important for being a better artist? Well, here's my observations now going into my 40th year teaching. It seems that the actors that I see are the loosest, the easiest to laugh, the easiest listener, the most supportive actor, they tend to be the ones that are way more user-friendly and generally better. You know, I know I've told a story about having the theater and how I had, you know, movie stars. I mean, you know, Oscar-winning people come in and see shows. They were the ones that were always the most supportive. And as I've said, they were the most supportive, I'm sure, because they know how hard it is to do work, to stay in the business, to get anything done, to do it, to stay at it, to stick with it. And so there's just kind of a blanket respect for anyone that does anything and just gets it done. And so why would I not clap, smile, and encourage you? How are you competing with me? How will me giving you some sort of encouragement steal from my energy source? How does that work? You know, I have a friend in Los Angeles, and if I ever show him something that someone did, maybe sometimes I'll show him a reel of one of my students that I think is just amazing, you know, the work they've done. And I'll say, look at this great work, you know. All he'll ever say is what he didn't like. He won't even add to that. I like this, I like that, what I didn't like was that. He said, let me tell you what I didn't like. I don't say anything about it because what difference does it make? And, you know, I think he's kind of stuck in his ways, to be honest. But I think, what is that? Why is it so important for us to be so critical? Is that how we learn? What do we learn? That I'm right and you're wrong? That I know and you don't? That you're stupid but not me? That I have more talent than you, that I'm better at this than you are. What is it? What is that need? Why is that? I know for a fact that one of the greatest things you can do when you're working with an actor is to try and help them feel secure and confident. Encouragement. Whenever you can, to compliment. To key on the things that they're doing right. To key on the stuff that's working. It's a funny thing where, I know it happens with teachers a lot. They think that all they can do, what they're there to do primarily, is to criticize and tear down. That's why I always say to check the IMDb of your teacher, because generally the people that do that the most are the people that never worked or didn't work much and they're still bitter about it. Anyone can criticize. Anyone can tear down. All you need is a big hammer. It's a simple thing. Try building something. Try making something. Try creating something. Try that. That's harder. Try making something better. Try encouraging and enlightening. These things are harder. To sit up on your perch and just say, oh, let me tell you what's wrong here. I guess that makes you feel better. Makes you feel more like, you know, you got it and they don't. And then how do you cash that in? What does that do? It gives you more confidence. And then when you go into an audition, you know, hey, maybe I don't have a series, but at least I'm not that turd that I watched in class the other night. Is that how you live? I see it. Once in a while, I have to say, I just feel like I'm blessed with my LA class that I currently teach on Monday nights. It just feels like a jacuzzi of support there. The actors are so kind to each other, and well, they should be. They're all very good. They're all very talented, and they all do really good work. And every Monday night's a joy just sitting in and the feeling I have of being entertained, you know. I saw a great scene here being done by two fellows, and when they finished, I had to make sure that they had not run the scene together because, man, it was so precise and so funny and so quick and so well done. And it was long, kind of, you know. I mean, the fact that they could get all those lines and never call for a line, never screw up, was their first time. I've seen this before, of course. I've seen it before, but I had to ask, and they said they had not. And so I was able to make the great point of why you never need to rehearse with people outside of class and why, of course, this is what you have to get skilled for, because when you work professionally, you don't have that opportunity. You just show up, and now you got to cut the mustard. And I think they were taken aback that I let them get all the way through it, and then I just told them that rocked, man. That was dope. You did a great job. Good for you. A couple of things. To be honest, I think most teachers have a hard time doing that because they feel that somehow if all they offer is praise, that you've just now superseded my ability. You're above my pay grade. I can't say anything. Therefore, ergo, you've graduated. You have become the master and I the student. That's not quite how I meant it when I told them they did a good job. I told them they did a good job because they did. And a lot of times, actors just need to hear that, especially when they do a good job. Shall I put it under the microscope, and shall I decide, is there anything that I could pick out? Yeah, I don't, maybe. But honestly, I was just enjoying myself. I was enjoying watching these two actors taking flight and having a blast. I didn't need to sit there. I didn't feel intimidated into believing that, well, if I don't say something, everyone's going to think that I've just plumb run out of stuff to say. No, I've got plenty to say. This is my 121st podcast. The point I'm making is that you people that sit there with clenched fists watching fellow actors, always wanting to sit in judgment, I'm better than that. Oh, I would do it this way. I wouldn't do it that way. Oh, that was dumb. Oh, why is everyone laughing? It's not that funny. Oh, come on, that's overdone. What are you doing? What is that for? Because you know, because you're really smart and it's very important for you to keep score and mark it in your little book that you keep in your pocket about who's good and who's not and how much better you are than this and that, and you just keep doing it. Why? It makes you feel better. You know what makes me feel better? Doing really great work. It beats everything, actually. if I could get up and have a good night on stage, or, you know, do a good take and actually, you know, hook up, connect, do some good work, that stuff makes me feel way better than anything. The actual art of it, the actual doing of it, teaching a good class, giving a worthwhile lecture that seemed to impact people. Those moments where I actually toe the line and actually get the thing done, well, that's, I suppose, when any artist would feel most useful and accomplished. So what is this business where we sit and we're always critical? I saw it in class, you know. One guy just watching while everyone else was cracking up. And then every so often he'd look over to his friend like, you know, come on, this person's overdoing it. It's not that funny. I was laughing. I was laughing. Believe me, if I thought that there was something really wrong, I would have stopped it. But what I was marveling at was at this particular woman's ability to just go off the hook and try so many different things. And they were funny. Oh, it would every single bit pass the litmus complete perfect authenticity test? Was any of it perhaps a little over the top? Oh, maybe. But what are we here to do? It's a class. And even on set. I've said this many times, the thing that tends to hamstring the artist the most is the fear of being wrong, of doing something wrong, of getting it wrong, of doing too much, of doing too little. And these things tend to tighten up the work and keep you in this narrow beige band where it's not really great and it's not bad, you know? You know, it's okay. It's okay. You're doing okay. It's real. It's fine. But now it's got no snap, crackle, pop, because the person that's doing it is scared that they may go too far, and so rarely do they go far enough. Why? Because we sit around and we're preoccupied with trying to be great, trying to be really good, trying to be better than the other person, trying to be perceived as someone who's better than that person and this person, trying to get the kind of respect that is given to a person who would be of this ability, and that's really important to me. And, you know, come on, man, really? Is that how you think you get there? Really? Because you know how you get there, right? You do it, and we watch it, and we decide. That's how you get it. You don't get it by going around and, you know, constantly telling us how much more you know than other people. I mean, okay, fine. I guess people are going to hear you and I'm sure be irritated by it. But I don't think that then we go off and we go, well, that fellow, that gal's really good because she really knows how to criticize something, man. So then what do? Do we lie when something's not perfect? Shouldn't we tell the truth? What truth? Your truth? How do you know it's the truth? It's your truth. It may not be my truth. It may not be the consensus truth. It's just your truth. And why is your truth so great again? Oh, but you say, well, okay, whatever, I still have an opinion. Yep, you do. You have an opinion about a lot of things. Do you always speak them? Do you tell everybody everything you ever think that comes into your head unfiltered because it happens to be a truth that suddenly sprouted in your head while you're standing beside someone? I'm assuming you exercise social decorum, right? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're one of these idiot savants that is just this despicable person who stinks a little bit, but goodness gracious, when we give you the text of Hamlet, you crush it, you kill it, you turn into a rose of just perfect beauticiousness. Maybe. I haven't met that person. I've been paying attention for many, 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 many years. I've never met that person, really. No, by and large, what I meet are secure people who are incredibly kind and supportive, and then they get up and crush it. That's it. I have a new addition to my class in L.A., a wonderful young lady who joined the class and was so humble, so, I don't know how to put it, but honestly, if somebody had asked me, what do you think she's done before, I would have said, oh, she's without a doubt a beginner, but very humble and I think, you know, confident, secure, but quiet and willing to watch and listen and be supportive. And then I saw her reel, and I was so impressed. And I could see through a montage of tons of things that she had put together and done. I think some on her own with people she knew, but they all look like beautiful little independent films. And I was actually kind of taken aback by the quality of the work. It made perfect sense because I'd by this point seen her a few times in my class, and hence I decided, you know, I'm going to look into this person. I get a sense that this person now has done more than I think and is perhaps well-equipped. And indeed, I love that shit. I love for what it means. Here's a person who joins a class, who is so humble, who is so kind to all the other actors, who is so supportive, who is just so quiet, but then ready to get up and do her best with her self-confessed heart racing. She does the scenes and does great work. And, you know, she epitomizes the type of actors that I really respect and like. And listen, she's not a unicorn. I mean, I know I've built her up, but I have been fortunate enough to have lots of students like that. But it seems that I am tricked every time. Because I'm used to the norm, and the norm is that when someone comes in that's done anything, you know it before they step in the room, because it's all over the place. They're constantly on Instagram. They're constantly showing you pictures of them with this guy, that guy, this gal, that gal, blah, 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 me. And it's just refreshing. Is it important? I do think it is, and here's why, you see. I think that when we become these humble, lovely, supportive people that are never slow to give encouragement and compliments to their fellow actors, I think what happens is, in a kind of spiritually chiropractic way, it kind of lines up your chakras a little better, you see? Because when you become that person, you're no longer looking around the room deciding, who am I better? Who's better than me? That person's not good. How did that person get that job? Why are you here and not that person? How come he's speaking to you that way and not that way to that person? And, you know, man, you got way too many preoccupations going on with nonsense. And all of that energy, you see, is taken away from where it should be, and that is from sitting, being whole, listening, being encouraging, being more receptive to what you're hearing, being more clear-minded because you're not at battle with ridiculous things in your head. It makes you observe life better. It makes you less judgmental. It makes you spend less time focusing on the things that do not matter. I had an actor get up in class and do some work after two other people had gotten up and done some splendid work. And this particular actor became so preoccupied with now trying to be really good. And indeed, he should be because he is. But you see, what happened was he decided that he needed to be hopefully and certainly as good as the other people before him because, you know, it felt like the gauntlet had been dropped. I get it. These things can sometimes just inadvertently feel like a competition of sorts. And because this fellow really wanted to rock it, he ended up taking his mind off the only thing that was important, and that was simply telling his story. And then it became about emotion. It became about, you know, all sorts of other tics and things that were going on. In short, it became about acting. And I think he felt abysmal about it, even though I think that by the time we were finished, he definitely did some lovely stuff. But he didn't come out of the blocks doing it the way he wanted to. And the only reason for that is he became preoccupied with his status, how he's perceived, doing great work, being looked at as someone who does great work. Whether he wants to admit it or not, that is, of course, what happened. I've seen this before. You see? That's why humility, just focusing on what you're doing, your life experience, what you're bringing to the table, and being kind to everyone around you and supportive to other artists. That's why it's so important. It helps you keep your eye on the only ball you should be looking at, and that is doing your work. Do the work. I've said it many times, man. I mean, if you know so much, then show us. We'll see it. Our eyes are wide open. We'll be looking for it. Go for it. Do it. Show us. And then we will all learn. And then we will all see what is what. And we will decide where you go on the scoreboard. Right? I mean, that's really how it's done, right? You got to stop thinking of it like if you give a compliment that somehow that person's station in life rises above you. You have to stop looking at it that way. You know, it reminds me of in the old days, I think it might have been when there were these movies and the, you know, the black and whites and they were in the jungle, that if the photographer took a picture, maybe it's a true thing and it's actually happening, took a picture of a native, the native didn't like that because the idea was you're stealing a part of my soul when you take this picture, you know. Somehow I feel like actors, when they are supportive of other actors, they're somehow giving a piece of their worth away. Only if you think so. And never if you don't. I said this phrase in my book. I remember it. I forget who it was, but it was some grand dame of the theater, I think. And late in her life, she had said the one thing she had learned is just be nice. Just be nice. We have plenty of the other. Be nice. You'll be a better artist for it. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.